Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. You can also email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns, that's how you're going to win a prize, knowing that email address, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com, and following on social media. Also, if you miss a show, all the shows are archived. They're archived here at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google, Spotify, Stitcher. So check those areas out. If you miss a show or you come in the middle and you're like, I want to replay it, share with friends and family, please do. They're all there for you to enjoy. This morning, maybe take the kids to another room and maybe have a nice glass of cold water, like with ice cubes in it. I know it might be cold depending on where you are in the country, but ooh, spicy, spicy, spicy. Miss Sharon C. Cooper, good morning.
Good morning.
Sharon is the author of Business Not As Usual, and let me tell you, woo, it is not as usual. I was like, is anybody watching me? Like, woo, what's going on? I mean, should I be reading this in the closet? you know, like, you should have a little warning label on there, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, you know, make sure you have your towel with you and, like, the ice water. It's very spicy. So you have written like over what 25 books at this point, right?
Yeah, actually over 35 books now.
35 books, and you have been nominated for numerous
awards.
Yeah, the number
is creeping up.
Yes, the recipient of Romance Slam Jam Emma Award for Author of the Year in 2019, Favorite Hero 2019. You have interracial romances you've won awards for, the BRAB Award Breakout Author in 2014. And, I mean, I could go on. You guys should check out her website. Her website is SharonCooper.net, and you can sign up for her newsletter there. But this morning we're going to be talking about one of her latest books, again, Business Not As Usual. Let's start at the beginning for, you know, the audience who may not be familiar with your work. A writer? Did you know when you were little you were going to be a writer? Where did the idea for becoming a writer, like, where did that come from? What was the catalyst?
No, actually, I never thought about being a writer. Not until I was probably after I graduated from college. In college, I had this professor. She was just first of all, she looked like me, which is something I had never had in college. And
secondly,
she was one of the jazziest women I have ever met. And, you know, me being early 20s, it's like, when I grow up, I want to be like her, you know. And one of the things she just had it going on. And one of the things I learned that she did, she read romance novels. And so, of course, if I'm going to be just like her, I'm like, okay, I need to start reading romance novels. So I devoured mm-hmm. them. And then as the years went on, I mean, I could read, you know, 3 or 4 romance novels a week. And as the years went on, then it was like, okay, maybe I should, you know, maybe I can write a romance novel. Probably like most readers do. Like, maybe I can try writing a story. Mm-hmm. Anyway, long story short, you know, 25 years later, I have had an opportunity to, you know, do some writing. I started with some grant writing for our business and, you know, just kind of spilled over to fiction. And before I knew it, I had written a novel. Of course, my first one was had a little bit of everything in it because I didn't know what I was doing. So I joined Georgia Romance Writers and just kind of learned the craft, met other authors, and it just kind of came from there. Yes. Yeah.
So you mentioned
with a professor at college.
Professor of college. What did you actually study in college? Do you mind me asking?
Actually, I studied business in college. I did a sheet metal apprenticeship while going to night school. So I got my degree and I'm a sheet metal worker by trade. And so I did it simultaneously.
Oh, my gosh. Now, where do you like to write? Is it at home? Is it outside? Is it in your closet? Where is your comfort
space? I do have a home office. I write in my office most of the time. I used to enjoy writing in coffee shops. Haven't ventured back out to doing that in the last few years. But, yeah, mostly I write in my home office.
Yeah, I mean, the last few years have been crazy for everyone. The COVID has affected so many people, and particularly artists. So, but you seem to have been keeping busy. I guess this was actually a good thing for writers because it's, I mean, okay, what are you going to do? You can't go outside, so let's write. No or no, it wasn't a good thing.
I don't know. Mentally, it was a little tough, you know, because I enjoy being, you know, in my office at home. But when you're forced to be at home, it felt a little different.
Different.
There's so much going on in the country, so it was like, it was a challenge. It was probably some of my busiest writing years just because of deadlines, but it was every single word was a challenge getting it on paper. Just
so
because
what do
of
you
all
do
that,
when you,
you know, that was going
when
on
you
in
go
the
through that? What do you do when you go through
keep
that
writing.
As a writer? Keep writing.
Keep writing. You know, you keep writing mainly because you have those deadlines. Just because stuff is going on in the world, doesn't necessarily mean you can slack on the deadlines, you know, so you just kind of power through, take a lot of breaks, but I just kind of power through, probably
now,
wrote a few more romantic suspense because of what was going on, but
I think we need some romance. I mean, I think we needed your books definitely because, you know, people needed love, and like you said, being inside, being forced to be inside is different than choosing to be inside. And I'm sure people either broke up or got closer, depending on where they were in their relationships, you know.
Hopefully
they got closer. That's what the romance novelist would say. So now you talked about joining a Georgia's writers group. How do you think as a young writer, should they seek out groups in their genre? I know I've spoken to many writers. Most of them are African-American, and there's like, you know, African-American mystery writers, and there's different groups. Is that very important, or you think, stay on your own, be a loner?
You know, I think it's super important, especially if you're a new writer, because, you know, we all think, well, I shouldn't say we all, but many of us think that we can sit down and just, you know, pump out a book. And that's really not the case, especially if you want to do it correctly, you know. So it's nice to kind of learn the craft while still trying to maintain that creativity, you know. But joining a group, even if it's not in your genre, if it's a writing group or a critique group or something like that, I think is very helpful. Not only
do you
meet other authors or, you know, excuse me?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And it gives you an opportunity to meet other authors. Because, I mean, you know, when you meet other authors, you realize that you're all pretty much in the same boat, you know, maybe at different levels, but you're experiencing some of the same things as a writer.
Do you read other books, other genres other than romance, or you only read romance and write romance?
I read some nonfiction, but most of the time I read romantic suspense. That's my favorite genre. I probably read that more than anything. I do read some nonfiction as well, and I do read romance. Yeah.
Did you go to the library when you were a kid?
Actually, I worked in the library. I was
you
a circulation
in the library.
For years. I worked in the library.
What section did you work in?
I worked the front desk. Yep.
So you were like the greeter person.
I was, and I, you know, restocked the books, and yeah.
Yeah. So at that time, were you like a heavy reader? Were you a heavy reader?
I was not. I wouldn't call myself a heavy reader, especially not fiction. I did read quite a bit of nonfiction during that time. You know, anything that could help better myself in various areas, you know, just devour books like that. But it wasn't like a I didn't read for enjoyment like I do now. Then it was just trying to, you know, become the best person I could be. I was pretty young, so, you know, just trying to, you know. So I read mostly nonfiction during that time.
Okay. Now, what do you think now about this war situation? Do you think you ever write, I mean, you have some military, in some of your series, you have, you know, military men reuniting with their loves and stuff like that, the Reunite series. What do you think would come out of this, soldiers coming back from this situation? Could you write a story about what's going on now?
No. I probably wouldn't. Because even
you wouldn't,
with my Reunited series, I, you know, touch a little bit on their background, but I'm not really a military, I wouldn't say I'm a military writer. Some of my characters were once military or police officers or things of that nature, but I don't really
delve into that
military.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me
tell
the audience.
My characters be everyday people.
Everyday people, regular folk. Regular folk.
With a little background, yeah.
You have the Jenkins family series. You have Jenkins and Sons Construction. You have your Reunited series, Atlanta's Finest series, and then you have some standalone books and Harlequin books. I mean, like you said, over 30 books. Now, this book, Business Not As Usual, you have why don't you tell the audience a little bit about it and the characters?
Okay. Well, this is my first romantic comedy, and it's about a young woman who, she just had a rough time with life, basically. But even though her life is not necessarily perfect, she's very resilient. She has one of, I don't know if you know people who have this, you know, kind of get knocked down but get bounced right back up. She has this really sunny disposition, and she's very eccentric. And so she's at a time in her life where, one, she just broke up with, she was dating an attorney, and he broke up with her in public. And so that kind of threw her off her game a little bit. So she decides, okay, I'm done with men. I'm just going to focus on myself, accomplish some goals. She's also the caretaker for her grandfather, who is a hoot. And and so she's just kind of being who she is, kind of, you know, being in the present and deciding that she's going to, you know, just have this fabulous life and just not worry about, you know, getting involved with other men. But, of course, you know, once she says that, then another guy kind of comes into her life and he happens to be a venture capitalist. Their personalities are, like, opposites. She's kind of easygoing, kind of just, you know, all rainbows and sunshine, basically. And he's more very rigid, super organized, just, you know, he's very focused. And not that she's not focused, but she just kind of takes life a little more. She just enjoys life, basically, and people. And him, not so much. His name is Carter. Her name is Dreamy. Dreamy Daniels and Carter Redford. He's the son of a famous actor. So he grew up, you know, wealthy, and he, you know, became wealthy either on his own. And so his life has been all about work. But lately, after losing one of his friends to an early death, he's like, okay, I need to make some changes. In comes Dreamy. And they're just, you know, they're drawn to each other, but she recognizes that they are she's so out of his league. So she's, you know, she turns down all of his advances. And he's kind of troubled. One, he can't figure out why he's attracted to her. Two, and the fact that she keeps turning him down, which is something he wasn't used to. Anyway.
Yeah, and his ego got bruised on that one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so they personality-wise, they're different economically, or they're socioeconomic. They're just very different. They come from two different worlds, basically. And it's very clear right from the jump. So it was a fun story to write, and I think readers would really enjoy it. Give some good, you know, some couple of laugh out loud moments. And I'm hoping the story would just kind of take people away from, you know, their everyday life and just read something fun, basically. So I think this story
I really enjoyed it. I mean, the grandfather, Tidy Whitey's. This Tidy Whitey, I mean, oh my God. I was like, whoa. Okay, that was a lot. Like, okay, go back in the room, Grandpa, you know.
You got that. He was a comic relief,
Yes, definitely comic relief. And even the main character, Carter, you give him his funny moment. I don't want to say what it is. I don't want to give stuff away, but he loses his normal composure. And he's just a mess, basically. And he doesn't even know what's going on. He's like, why the heck am I doing all this stupid stuff?
Because he lives a boring, straight-laced life. And all of a sudden, Dreamy comes in like a whirlwind and it just kind of throws him off his game, basically.
Yeah. And now we got to tell them, though. I think it's okay to tell them that, you know, the character is a lottery fiend, if you will. She plays the lottery every day.
She's been playing years with her grandfather. And she's finally at that point where she's like, she really feels like it's time. She's going to win, you know. And so
everybody thinks
kinda,
she's crazy,
as a reader,
though, you know.
Yeah, because she's just so confident that, you know, she's got this. She's going to win. She has a list of how she's going to spend the money. And, that was probably when she, you know, wins the lottery. I think that was probably one of my favorite things to write because, I imagine, like, what would it be like to win an obscene amount of money? You know, how would I react? Mm-hmm. You know, so I tried to kind of put that in there and, it, you know, put that into the story, but kind of a little over the top, you know. But
right.
It was a fun
So have scene, you ever
right?
played the lottery? Yeah. Have you ever played the lottery or even going to the casino?
I have. And with the lottery, I don't play it faithfully like Dreamy. But one of the things I did while writing the story, working on the story, I did play because there's numbers in the book. So I figured, you know what, let me just see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can win off of these numbers, you know. So I'm hoping that, you know, one day a reader will kind of email me and say, "Hey, I won," you know. Using
my God,
those Dreamy numbers,
story.
You know.
Exactly.
It really would, you know.
Oh my God.
And I
that
hope
would be like so great.
Would win, you know. Yeah, I think that would be so cool. Yeah, but I'm not a true lottery player.
Well, you definitely are.
But I just thought it would be fun to write the story.
Thanks. Yeah. You are romantic.
I'm glad
and
you,
I read
you...
that. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I read that you and your husband like to go golfing on the golf course. How long have you been doing that?
20-some years.
Oh, my
goodness. I don't golf with him as much because we live in Georgia, and it's just too hot for me to be out there. He can golf in any kind of weather, but I do try to go out with him occasionally.
Now, do you have a special,
not when it's
like,
crazy hot, though.
Do you have this, can you tell us some golf lingo and the different sticks? Are they called sticks? Look at me. I don't know anything about golf.
No, they're called clubs. My favorite
clubs. Okay.
My favorite club is probably my 3-iron.
And why is
and,
that?
I don't know. I just feel more comfortable. I feel like I can control it better. The driver is longer, and it's not as easy to control for some reason. The 3-iron is just my go-to club that, you know, you can't use it for every hole, but I try. I try to use it for every hole because I feel more comfortable with it, but not realistically, you can't use it for every hole. From lingo, my goal is always to par a hole. That means usually they you know, set numbers, for lack of a better way to describe it, numbers per hole. Like, you know, they think you can get, you can reach the flag or the greens in three hits to get on the green. And so if you do, if you, you know, get in a hole or whatever with three hits, then you get par. And so I'm always trying to shoot for par. I have never, you know, I think I might have parred a couple of holes every now and then, but nothing. I'm okay. But
yeah.
You'll never see me, you know, hanging with, you know, any golf pros or anything like that. you know, but it is fun. I don't enjoy watching golf, but I do enjoy playing golf, though.
Playing golf. Well, now this is, you know, interesting. Black people playing golf. Have you ever experienced any kind of racial discrimination, or do you go to a club that is for African Americans, or is it mixed?
I haven't personally experienced any, mainly because, you know, you're kind of, no, I have never, not on a golf course. You know, usually everybody's pretty, our experience, well, let me rephrase that, my experience, my husband's out there more often, and, you know, he's so zoned in on golf, it, even if there were some issues, he probably would just kind of block it out.
Wouldn't pick it up.
I haven't experienced any, not on a golf course. I could tell you other stories, but nothing on a golf course.
Well, you nothing know, you have an interracial course, story. So. You have an interracial love story. And even today, even though it's illegal, I mean, the fact that you have to say something like that, that, you know, a black person and a white person could have you know, a love relationship, you know, it's crazy that we still deal with that. But, you know, the younger generation, my daughter, they seem a little more relaxed about it. But then you have these, like, I guess, fringe groups where there are young people who are not relaxed about it, and they're very, like, against it. We're about to have, hopefully, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, and her husband is white. She's black.
Yeah.
What do you think the public is thinking about that?
I think, well, from a romance writer, there were some moments with them too, and I didn't follow because I struggled with some of the questions that were asked and how she was treated, and so it was best for me not to watch all of it. But there was a photo going around where he kissed her on the forehead. I mean, you talk about having all the feels when I saw that photo, where it's like you felt their love just with that photo, you know, and how he supplied her with coffee and, you know, just things of that nature. So from a romance writer perspective, you know, knowing that she has a supportive husband who seems to adore her based on just how, you know, he looked at her and how he treated her. Mm-hmm. Granted, yeah, he probably knew cameras were around, but some things you just can't fake, in my opinion. You know, that particular photo just kind of gave me all the feels. So,
yeah, I saw that as well, and also the one where they show the husband and the daughter looking at her.
Yeah,
and she was just really grinning. Yeah, like she was so proud of her mom.
Yes, go mom.
You got this. Yeah.
She went through the ringer, you know, with those questions and, you know, and her qualifications. I mean, I'm impressed with her, you know.
Even just her qualifications.
Yeah, exactly.
The qualifications. You can't belittle that, you know. She worked those situations. She gained. She put the work in. Like, you can't, what are you going to say? She put the work in. It's black and white.
I
hope, and the crazy, it's like, again, after all these years, this is the first person of color. I mean, other than, Clarence Thomas, but the woman of color, you know, I was talking to someone and I was like, you know, we still haven't talked about Native Americans getting to certain positions in this country.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Forget about African Americans, but, you know, the Native Americans who were the first, you know, so we still have a long way to go in terms of parody, if you will, in these political arenas. Let me ask you some funny things. What was your first job that you had as a kid? Do you remember?
Babysitting.
Babysitting
was my first job, and then my first real job that I call, you know, where I actually got a check where they took taxes out was my circulation aid job, and that was when I worked in my library.
The library, okay. Now, mm-hmm. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Ooh, if I had a superpower, wow, that's a good one. probably nothing, you know, super fun like flying or anything, but probably something where I could easily block out some of the drama that's going on in the world, you know, where I had like a force field and it didn't even, you know, touch me in any way.
Just have a force field of peace around
like
you.
Exactly. You know, my home is very peaceful, but, you know, you step out the door and it's like, you know, I just would want the force field to kind of follow me around, keep all the drama.
Keep it all out.
I don't know if that'd be a superpower, but it'd be kind of cool to kind of experience that.
If you could have breakfast with a writer, who would it be? It could be a person who's alive or dead. Who would you have breakfast with?
Breakfast with a writer. I would love to have breakfast with a few writers. But
okay,
maybe...
so you got a party going on.
I'm part of an authors who brunch group, and I love hanging with those women, you know. So that's probably who I would hang with, those particular women. You know, none of us are super famous or anything like that, but we have a good time.
She's saying none of us are super famous, but she has like more than 30 books out. Oh, my God, she's so humble. Okay. Let's ask this. If you had $100, what would you do with it?
Right now, I know of someone who needs a few extra bucks. I probably would give it to them.
Mm-hmm,
I won't say names or anything, but that's what I would do with it.
Yeah. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and who would you take?
I would definitely take my husband. That would be a no-brainer. I would take my husband. Where would we go? Probably would go. We used to live in San Diego. We probably would go back to San Diego. I know it's not as glamorous as like Paris or anything, but we've had some fun times in California. So probably would go there.
Look, that's
hang out
that's
with
what
some,
you had, you
some
know?
Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's important? How it makes you feel.
Yeah,
that's one of the quotes I read. You talked about Maya Angelou that people learn. People will like forget what you said, but they won't forget how you make them feel. That's one of your favorite quotes, right?
Yep, it is.
Well, I think your book definitely
makes me feel.
People
forget what you said, people forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yes. Well, your book's definitely, for this particular book, Business Not As Usual, definitely made me feel hopeful about love. It made me laugh, you know, with the grandpa. It got me angry at some of the characters, especially like the ex-boyfriend. Okay, we won't. Oh, my God.
He
was a dirt. He was a snake. Oh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He was a snake. You have some new books coming out.
Her kind of changed her life, though, you know.
Exactly.
Kind of pushed her forward to say, okay, I need to make some changes here, you know, so. But he was a dirt bag, but, you know, he was the catalyst to make her say, okay, I need to get my life together here.
I mean, that hopefully, many people have gotten bad breakups. You know, I've had a bad breakup.
Right.
And I've had good breakups. And it's funny, like, I mean, it sounds weird you said good breakup, but there are good breakups and more of like, okay, this is just not working, to be honest, you know, with each other for whatever the reason is. That can happen, but there's a lot of like negative ones because people got a lot of baggage from when you know with themselves.
Yeah.
So But let's talk about, you got some new books coming up in July and August. Talk to us about this. Committed and Casino Heat.
Yeah, Committed is the next book in my Atlanta's Finest series. And it's kind of like a catch-up book. You know, it's two couples that I've written about early in the series, and they're fan favorites. So I've been asked by many, will they get another story? And they have another story coming in July. So that's Lives and Journey. And he's a good bad guy. He's a great guy, but some of the stuff he does is a little questionable. But I think that's why he's probably a fan favorite, because it's like, you know, he's kind of a by any means necessary kind of guy. And then the next one that comes out in August, Casino Heat. This book has been a long time coming. I'm adding to my Reunited series. And this story, for those people who have read the Reunited series, the main character in Casino Heat is an NBA player who's the brother of one of the earlier characters. And I've been asked over the years, many years now, if he was getting a story. And he's had a story. I just haven't had time to write it. So it's definitely coming in August. So, yeah.
Wow.
But
when do you sleep? When do you sleep?
In between deadlines. In between deadlines, I, you know, get a few hours here and there, you know.
I mean, you know, you talk in the business, not as usual, about your character having balance. I mean, like, you know, you got so many books coming out. It's like, when the heck is she sleep? Does she have like a ghostwriter person? Let me ask you this. Are you using computers when you write out your stuff, or are you handwriting your stories out first?
I do a little handwriting, not much. What I usually do is outline. I'm a planner, so I plan out the story. And then with each scene, I'll do like a little brief outline of the items that I definitely want in that scene. But mostly I use my Alpha Smart. It's kind of like a word processor. And then I transfer the information to the computer.
Okay.
Yeah,
and do you
it's like a word processor. Yeah. Excuse me?
Do you back up to the cloud, or do you back up to a external hard drive? Because, I mean, like, would you be afraid to lose something?
I back up to both. I even still have a flash drive, you know, just because I'm, you know, old school, I guess. And it's like, I want the story just several places just in case, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that seriously can happen.
You know, a couple of places. Because, I mean, those words are hard to come by, so it's like you don't want to have to redo all of them again. So, yeah, I'm really.
No, definitely not.
Pretty adamant about saving, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, Sharon C. Cooper, it was a joy speaking with you this morning. I want to give away some copies of your book, Business Not As Usual.
Excellent.
So I want to encourage people to follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. And Sharon, tell the people where they can find you on social media. What's your handles?
You can find me. The best way to find me is on my website, and then all my social media handles are listed there. And my website address is SharonCooper.net. And then from there, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest.
Yep.
Yeah, you can find me all over. Joy, thanks a lot for the interview. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for waking up. Hopefully you can go back to sleep or you know, write another book. I mean,
yep.
You should probably write
That's
another
exactly
book.
Exactly what I'll be doing.
Yep, all right, you have a great
day.
Weekend.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Well,
thank
you so much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with author Sharon C. Cooper. I'm going to give away her book, Business Not As Usual. So, again, you want to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to have a chance to win. And then you're going to email the answer to Saturdays with Joy Keys at hotmail.com. And, again, Sharon's website is SharonCooper.net, and it has all her different books listed there, her audio books there. She has a newsletter. She also tells what's coming next. You can even send her a message, the contact thing on social media. So she has all that information there if you want to learn more about her. She has like over 30 books that she has written and several series. So, I mean, you could just start with like one of the series, you know, and finish that, and you'll still have like 25 more books to go to get through all of her work. But Business Not As Usual is really funny, very romantic, sexy, hot. It has all these things in it. So I think you'll enjoy the book. You guys have a great weekend, and I'll see you next Saturday.
What if you were wearing something sexy? What if you were drinking? What if you made the first move? No matter what, sexual assault is never your fault. Support is available 24/7 through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, reminding you it's never your fault.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.